Chapter 12. Darkness Falls. What is the strongest weapon of mankind? The god machines of the Adeptus Mechanicus? No. The Astartes legions? No. The tank? The lasgun? The fist? No to all. Courage, and courage alone, stands above them all. Macarius, Lord Solar, from his writings. Distant thunder woke Ibram Gorn from a dreamless sleep. His bedroom, part of a small suite of rooms disposed to him, adjacent to House Command, was dark except for the dull amber glow of rune sigils on the small codifier by the desk. He turned on the lamp and slid off the bed, where he had lain down only a couple of hours before, fully clothed. Sleep had overtaken him in an instant. By the light of the lamp, he crossed to the desk, where stacks of ribbon-bound papers and data slates were piled up. He took a sip of last night's wine from a glass on a side table. The thunder came again. Somewhere, deadened by the thick walls, an alarm was ringing. He activated the call stud of the intercom set into the marble facing of the wall, blankly regarding the great framed portrait over the bare grate opposite. Its thick, time-darkened oils portrayed a pompous-looking man in the vervain primary uniform of an older age, bedraggled with braid, one foot raised to rest on a pile of human skulls, a scroll in one hand and a power sword in the other. When the intercom replied, Gaunt was idly wondering who the subject of the portrait was supposed to be and who the skulls had belonged to.
"Sir,
what's going on?"
"Reports of a raid at Ontabi Gate. We're waiting for confirmation."
"Appraise me swiftly. I have men at Haas East."
"Of course, sir. There is a visitor for you."
Gaunt checked the clock. It was nearly 2 in the morning.
"Who?"
"He bears the Imperial seal and says you requested him."
Gaunt sighed and said, "Allow him in." The suite's outer door slid open, and Gaunt went into the sitting room to meet his visitor, activating the wall lamps. A gnarled elderly man in long purple robes shuffled in, peering at Gaunt through thick-lensed spectacles. His hair, where it protruded from under his high-crested, red felt cap, was grey and unruly, and he leaned on an ebony cane. Behind him came a tall, pale young man in grey cleric's coat, laden down with old tomes and sheaves of paper.
"Commissar Gaunt,"
the old man wheezed, studying the officer before him. "Colonel Commissar, actually."
"You are?" "Advocate Cornelius Pater of the Administratum Judiciary. Your request for legal assistance was received this night, and Intendant Bainfail directed me to attend you with all urgency."
"I thank the Intendant for his alacrity, and you for your time." The advocate nodded and wheezed his way over to a leather couch, leaving his assistant in the doorway, swaying under the weight of the manuscripts and volumes he carried. "Set them down on the table," Gaunt told him. "You are?" The man seemed wary of speaking.
"My clerk, Welt,"
Pater answered for him.
"He will not speak. He is training for junior advocacy and must perforce learn the protocols of question and address. Besides, he knows nothing."
"How do we undertake this?" Gaunt asked the advocate. Pater cleared his throat.
"You will review the matter for my benefit, excluding no detail. You will show me any pertinent transcripts, and you will furnish me with a glass of fortified wine."
Gaunt glanced round at Welt. "There's a bottle on the side table in the bedroom. Fetch him a glass." Pater refused to speak further until the crystal glass was in his withered hand and the first sip in his mouth. The cane lay across his lap. Gaunt began. "An Imperial Guard General, Grismond of the Narmenian Armor, and 4 of his staff officers are charged with insubordination. They're being held in the VPHC stockade, pending prosecution by a VPHC court. The charges are spurious. I want them freed and back to duty immediately. I think the matter founders on a formality. The VPHC cannot prosecute Imperial Guard personnel. If there is a crime to answer, it is an Imperial Commissariat matter. I am the highest representative of that authority on Vergast." Pater adjusted his spectacles and studied the data slate Gaunt handed him.
"Clear cut enough, I suppose. You're citing Imperial Commissariat Edict 4368B. The VPHC won't like it. Tarion, in particular, will hate you for it.
There's no love lost between us.
Welt? What is it? You gurn like a fool, or a man with chronic gas?
It's 4378B, Advocate. The edict is 4378B.
Welt's voice was almost a whisper.
Just so,
Pater said, brushing off the correction and returning his gaze to the slate.
It may come to court. Tarion has a miserable record of dragging cases through all the due processes, even if he is bound to lose. To him, there's some satisfaction in prolonging the agony.
I want it thrown out before then. We can't be without Grismond any longer. In the next few days, Vervenhive's future may depend on skilled armor.
Tricky. But the edict is well precedented. A brief hearing, perhaps at dawn tomorrow, and we should be able to pull the rug out from under the VPHC.
Pater looked up at Gaunt.
I'll derive satisfaction from that. The VPHC have deemed themselves above imperial law for many years. It's been nigh on impossible to practice clean law in the Hive. With your prestige involved, we can win.
Good. At least we know the VPHC can't act before then. However they argue it, they know an Imperial Commissar must be present for a tribunal to be conducted.
Indeed. Even if they press for a court of their own, we can stall them as long as you refuse to participate. Then, Welt, again you screw up your face. What now?
Welt paused and seemed to choose every word with great care.
The tribunal is in session now, Advocate. You told me to collate all information relating to this case before we came here, and that fact was diarized in the judiciary case roll.
What?
They are proceeding, because they have an Imperial Commissar present. Commissar Cowell has agreed to represent the Imperial interests, and—
Gaunt's vicious curse shut Welt up and made the old man start. Pulling on his jacket, cap, and weapon belt, Gaunt reeled off a colourful and descriptive tirade, outlining what he would do to Tarion, Cowell, and the entire VPHC in four-letter words. "Come with me, now," he told the advocate and his trembling clerk, then flew out of the room. At the eastern edge of the Hive, the sky was on fire. From the outer dark of the river bend, enemy shelling had begun to hammer at the damage done to the adamantine curtain wall and the ramparts of Hass East Fort by the mines. Varl stumbled through the firestorm, trying to regroup his men and get them down into the deep wall bunkers. Zoican assaulters were everywhere. The defenders couldn't fight this. Varl tried to vox House Command or Tanith Control, but the energy flare of the bombardment had scrambled the communication bands. He got maybe 20 men around him, mostly ghosts but some Rowan and Vervan primary, and ran them down the tower steps into the bowels of the fort. The stone walls were sweating as the heat of the burning levels above leached into them. Plaster facings shriveled and wilted, and the air was oven-hot and hurt the soldiers' lungs. At one point, a shell fall punched through the corridor 20 meters behind them and passed on through the opposite wall, slicing stone so it dribbled like heated butter. The superheated air that slammed down the hall from the impact flattened them. They met groups of Zoikans and Varl's men, cut them apart. Two levels down, they ran into a stream of nearly 60 Vervan primary and Rowan deepers, with Major Rogin amongst them. Several had bad burns. "Where's Willard?" screamed Varl over the klaxons and the explosive hurricane roar. "Haven't seen him," barked Rogin. One lens of his spectacles was crazed, and he had a cut on his cheek. "We'll have to get the men down, down lower," Varl yelled, and the two officers began routing the surviving troops down a back staircase as firestorms billowed down the hallways towards them. "They mined the curtain wall from inside," Rogin bellowed as he and Varl pushed man after man past them onto the stairs. "I know, Fethet. How the hell did they get in?" Rogin didn't answer. On a section of wall below the mauled fort, Corporal Merrin was leading a straggle of panicking troops to cover. two squads of ghosts, Brostin, Logris, Nain, and McTeague amongst them, pushed forward past him, but there were 20 or more Vervan primary soldiers stumbling in their wake. Merrin bawled at them, trying to be heard above the shriek of the shelling and the detonations all around. Flames from the fort were reaching 100 meters into the sky, and billows of soot and burning fabric squalled around them. The heat was overwhelming. Somewhere close, a loader full of ammo had caught fire, and heated rounds were firing off wildly, spanking off the stonework and cutting zigzag tracer paths in the air. A shot hit the Vervan primary trooper nearest to Merrin and exploded his spiked helmet. There was a flash and some vast cutting beam drawn up outside the wall swept over them. Merrin saw it and threw himself flat as the inexorable beam raked the parapet at chest height, vaporizing the hurrying line of Vervan troopers in a murderous sequence. They simply vanished in turn, obliterated, leaving nothing but clouds of steam and the occasional smoldering boot behind. The beam swept right over the prone Tanith corporal, searing the back of his breeches, jacket, and head hair right off. He winced at the low throb of superficial burns, but he was startled to be alive. He got to his feet, his black fatigues shredded and falling off his body, and stumbled to the nearest stairhead. Hundreds of men, Tanith, Rowan, and Vervan Primary, fled the wall fortifications and Ontabi Gate and ran for cover in the streets and habs adjacent to the docks. Enemy shelling and beam fire were punching clean through the wall and the fort structure now and blasting into the edges of the worker habs. The shield, ignited above them, mocked the scene. What good was an energy screen when the enemy was blasting through ceramite and adamantium? Stretches of the habs were engulfed in flame, and thousands of hab-dwellers filled the streets in panic, mingling with the fleeing soldiery, choking the access routes and transits in a panicked stampede. Hass East Fort convulsed and collapsed volcanically, the great hatches of Ontabi Gate melting like ice. A breach had been cut in the curtain wall of Vervenhive, more terrible and more extensive than any damage done so far, even than at the brutalized Ververe railhead. At Crow Gate, the next main fortification down the curtain wall from Hass East, some 10 kilometers south of Ontabi, the wall troops and observers watched in incredulous horror as beams of destruction and heavy shelling punished the riverside defenses. A plume of fire underlit the storm clouds and blazed up into the sky like a rising sun. General Nash was at Crowgate still, and he dismally voxed the situation to House Command. He urgently requested significant reinforcements to his position. In the wake of a major breach like this, ground forces couldn't be far behind. As if on cue, one of his spotters reported movement on the Vanik Highway, 20 kilometers northeast. Nash used his magnoculars on Heatsea, and gazed out at the shimmering green phantoms of tanks and armored vehicles, thousands of them roaming towards Ontabi in a spearhead formation.
I have contacts. Repeat, I have contacts. At least 1,000 mechanized armor units advancing down the Vanik Highway and the surrounding hinterlands. They'll be on top of Hass East in under an hour. Reinforce my position now. I need armor. Lots of bloody armor. House Command, do you respond? Do you bloody respond?
An almost eerie silence fell across the main auditorium of House Command. Only the desperate chatter of vox traffic could be heard, reeling out reports of fearful destruction from 1,000 different locations. His face pinched and pale, Marshal Crow looked down at the chart table on the upper level. Hass East was gone. A mass armor force was approaching from the eastern levels. Artillery was beginning to pound Crow Gate and the eastern wall circuit. Zoikan troops were assaulting the spoil and the defences at Ververe. Heavy tanks and infantry columns were hitting Sondar Gate and the wall stretches towards Hass Gate and Hass West Fort. Hass West Fort itself was receiving ferocious ranged shelling. An attack on all fronts. The defences of Vervenhive were already at full stretch, and Crow knew this was only the beginning.
What do we do?
Stammered Anko, his face as white as his dress uniform.
Marshal Crow, what do we do, Crow? Speak, you bastard!
Crow struck Anko across his fat mouth and sent him whimpering to the ironwork floor. Crow looked across at Sturm.
Your thoughts, General.
There was venom and ice in equal parts in Crow's voice. Sturm began. He faltered.
Don't even begin to suggest an evacuation, Sturm, or I'll kill you where you stand. Evacuation is not an option.
You are sent here to defend Vervenhive, and that's what you'll do. He handed Sturm his ducal signet. Go to the stockade. Take troops with you. Release Grismond and set him to command the armor before its strength is wasted. If that bastard Tarion or any VPHC resists, deal with them. I expect you back at Ververe Gate to assume command there as soon as Grismond is free. We have spent too much time arguing amongst ourselves. Vervenhive lives or dies tonight. Sturm nodded stiffly and took the ring.
Where will you be, Marshal?
I will take personal command of Sondargate. The Hive will not die while I yet live. The shutter hatch of the stockade remained resolutely shut. Gaunt hammered on it with the butt of his bolt pistol, but there was no response. Gaunt, Pater, and Bwelt stood pinioned by the floodlights, locked out in the damp cold of level sub-40. Captain Dow was with them, bleary and pale with sleep. Gaunt had dragged the liaison officer from his quarters on his way down to the stockade. Gaunt turned to the advocate, who was wheezing for breath and leaning on his cane after the exertions of the frantic journey down into the bottom of the spine. "Don't you have an override? An authorization?" Pater held up his badge of office.
"Administratum pass level magenta. But the VPHC are a law to themselves. They have their own lock codes. Besides, Colonel Commissar, do you see a keyhole?"
Gaunt pulled off his leather coat and threw it to Bwelt. "Hold that," he said bluntly, and swung out his chainsword. The weapon whined as he cycled it up to full power. He stabbed it at the armored shutter. It rode aside, shrieking, leaving scratch marks and sending broken saw teeth away in a flurry of sparks. He dug again and sliced into the metal, cutting a jagged slot a few centimeters across, before the sword meshed and over-revved. With the sheer force of his upper arms and his shoulders, Gaunt heaved down, snarling a curse out at the top of his lungs, tearing down another few centimeters.
"Sir," Dower said sharply behind him.
Gaunt spun around, raising the chainsword, in time to see the armored lift cage descend and clank to rest. The grill doors squealed open. General Sturm, flanked by Colonel Gilbert and 10 blue-blood stormtroopers, emerged from the lift car.
"Sturm, don't make this worse by—" "Oh, shut up, you stupid fool, and put that weapon away," snapped Sturm.
He and his men approached and surrounded the quartet at the shutter. Gilbert was oozing a dreadfully superior smile at Gaunt.
"Get him out of my face, Sturm, or I'll practice what I'm doing to the door on him."
Gilbert raised his hellgun, but Sturm slapped it aside.
"You know, Gaunt," Sturm said, "I almost respect you. I could do with a few men of your passion in my regiment. But still and all, you are a benighted fool and beneath the contempt of civilized men. You've spent too much time with those Tanith savages and—" "What are you doing, you old fool?"
This last remark was directed at Pater, who was carefully and quietly dictating material for Bwelt to set down on his slate.
"Transcribing your words, General, in case the Colonel Commissar wishes to press a slander action against you later on."
The old advocate's voice was utterly empty of expression or nuance. A true lawyer. Gaunt laughed out loud. Sturm looked away from the old man. He held up Crow's ducal signet.
"If you want to get inside, you need one of these."
He pressed it against the center of the shutter. There was a dull thunk, a noise of servos churning, and the shutter, with its chainsawed tear, rose. The group entered, and Sturm opened the inner shutter. They passed on into the sodium-lit inner hall of the stockade.
"Marshal Crow has ordered me to release Grismond. The world is going all to hell above our heads, Gaunt. Zoika assaults on all fronts. It is time to forget all petty bickering."
3 VPHC troopers ran forward to confront them. One started to ask what they were doing in the stockade. Gilbert and his point man cut them down with loose, brutal shots. Gaunt pushed forward past the bodies and kicked open a set of wooden double doors to the left of the inner concourse. There was a large circular chamber beyond, lit by bracketed wall lamps with glass chimneys. Grismond and his officers, hands tied behind their backs and hoods over their heads, stood on a raised dais under spotlights in the center of the room. Cal, Tarion, and 9 senior VPHC officers sat on a tiered rank of wooden stalls before them, and a dozen VPHC troops with riot guns lined the walls.
"What the geck is this?" Tarion roared, getting to his feet.
Sturm held up the ducal signet.
By order of the Marshal himself, this court is overthrown. The prisoners will be freed. Cal rose too. The meeting is in session and obeys the edicts of both planetary and imperial law. We...
Shut your damn face, Cowl, snapped Gaunt. The Hive is dying above us, and you waste your time persecuting good, honest men for the sake of some political point scoring. You have no idea what real war is, do you, you bastard? You didn't on Balhaut, and you don't hear.
Cowl's face went purple with rage, but the furious Tarian pushed him aside.
Interference with VPHC proceedings is a capital offence, Gaunt. Your maverick actions won't get you anywhere except to the sharp end of a firing squad detail.
Actually, that's not correct, said Welt firmly. Imperial Edict 95674, subclause 45, states that an imperial judicial officer such as a full commissar may interrupt and foreclose any planetary legal affair without restraint or penalty.
You tell him, boy,
cackled Pater. Gaunt stared at Tarian. Don't push them, Tarian.
Who?
Gilbert and the other Bluebloods. Sturm can't control them, and I, sure as Feth, can't either. From me, you'll get tough honesty. From them, you'll get a hell round between the eyes. Even as he spat the words, Gaunt felt them all crossing an almost imperceptible line, the line between a precarious confrontation and total mayhem.
Gack you, you wretched off-world scum!
Bawled Tarian as he pulled his auto-pistol from its holster. Gilbert dropped him with a shot to the chest. Tarian's body exploded out through the back of the wooden seating. The VPHC guards surged forward, racking riot guns and firing. Gaunt saw a blue blood fly backwards, hit in the shoulder. Sturm was cursing and blasting with his regimental service pistol. The blue bloods opened up and sprayed the room. Grismond and his officers, blind under their hoods, dropped to the floor in terror. Gaunt wrestled the gasping advocate and his stunned clerk to the ground, out of harm's way. Dow's las pistol cracked repeatedly. Point blank, in the tight confines of the court chamber, Volpone met VPHC head-on, hell gun against riot gun, filling the air with smoke, blood mist, and death. Salvador Sondar slumped. A dribble of blood bubbles fluttered from his ear towards the roof of the tank. He gave in. The chatter filled him, eating into his flesh. His blood, his marrow, his mind. He did what it told him to do. He deactivated the shield.